Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nick Monaco here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. It was a glorious Thursday for Giant and Knick fans. Even for Jet fans, you got your offensive linemen. I mean, it's not the sexiest of picks, but you could argue the offensive line of the New York Jets is certainly a top five offensive line in football and maybe the best. But the story, unfortunately for Jet fans, isn't about the Jets. It's about the New York Giants taking Abdul Carter third overall, and then trading back up into the end of, back end of the first round and getting their quarterback, Jackson Dart, which, I mean, to me, perfect scenario. And I just want to, I just saw a tweet by Robert Griffin III that, just to give the counterpoint, I suppose, his tweet says, the New York Giants have no idea what they are doing at quarterback. Sign Jameis Winston only to sign Russell Wilson to start over him, and then drafted a rookie QB who will get minimal reps in his redshirt year behind those two. Lord have mercy. Yeah, I totally disagree. I love everything about what you just wrote. I thought, like, to me, I like everything about what what Robert Griffin just tweeted. Like, Jameis Winston makes less money than the backup last year. Like, Drew Lock got paid more money than Jameis Winston got paid. They just happened to sign their backup quarterback first. Like, that's the, like, to say you signed Jameis Winston only to then sign Russell Wilson. Jameis Winston got $4 million. The minute he signed that contract, everybody knew he was the backup. It's backup money. Jameis Winston went in knowing there was a good chance he's the backup. The idea that, then you turn around cluelessly and sign Russell Wilson. No, they got Jameis Winston to agree to back up money and paid him. And then took Russell Wilson. And now you have a Jackson Dart who has a lot of tools and a lot of toughness and a lot of athleticism, but hasn't really run a pro-style offense, ran 60% of his pass plays through play action. Like, he needs some time to learn the offense, and he gets it underneath a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Like, and they moved up into the first round to give him an extra fifth year. So you've got him, if you pick up his fifth year option, you got him for 4 years on the rookie contract of playing. Five total, but four of playing. Like, I don't understand. You want to say Jackson Dart's not a good quarterback, that's fine. You want to say the Giants wasted their money and you should start the quarterback right from day one, okay, I suppose. But to say they have no idea what they're doing because they signed their backup first and then went into a situation where they figured they could give a rookie quarterback a full year of riding the bench when that's proven to be successful for many a different quarterback. I don't know. To me, the Giants did, other than trying to get Aaron Rodgers instead, like, you know, or trading up to one and getting Cam Ward, or losing the game against the Colts so they could get Cam Ward. I don't know how you could handle the quarterback situation better. I love the idea that they have two veteran quarterbacks and they drafted a young kid who's going to take time to develop, and they're giving it to him. We're going to find out whether or not Jackson Dart is a good quarterback. That's going to be whether or not this whole thing, whether I look back on this years from now and laugh at myself or have guys like Eddie and Rockland hold my feet to the fire in 3 years when Jackson Dart stinks or whatever. I get it. But all I can do is speak to you in the moment and give you how I feel right now. And as a Giant fan, last night went about as well as I could have hoped. I wanted the quarterback. They got him. And they also got one of the best two players in this draft. It's an absolute no-brainer. I think they probably are the initial, and again, just initial, winner of this draft. Certainly the first round. I mean, they gave up 2 third-round picks. The Falcons gave up a first-round pick to move up a couple slots and take an edge rusher. They traded 2 third-round picks to get a quarterback. They gave up hardly anything, and they got the second quarterback in the draft and arguably the best player in the entire draft. There haven't been a lot of good Giant fan days. There haven't been a lot of good days to be a Giant fan. Today happens to be one of them. DJ in East Brunswick. What's up, DJ?
Hey, what's going on, man? Love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, man, I just have 3 points, and I'm going to get them off my chest, and then I'll, you know, talk. All right, my first point is I just don't like how the media has, you know, in a way slandered Shador or the inside of the NFL. You know, how do you go from being the top 4 to 5 pick for months, and then within a week, less than a week, you're not even drafted in the first round?
It's odd. I don't think it's a media creation, though. I don't think the NFL goes on what the media says. Now, you might. I'm not saying that there haven't been unfair stories, or like if you feel like there's slander, I think that's probably a bit strong. But I would tell you that the NFL isn't like, you know, the Saints didn't pass on them because they read a slanderous report. You know what I'm saying? Like they made their decisions based on what the information they've gathered. And I think mostly, I know people want to talk a lot about Deion. I'm curious, what kind of headache is Deion Sanders really going to be? Like, I think it's more about a lot of these teams felt like he was a high floor, low ceiling type player. And at the top of the draft, you want to go for the high ceiling guys. I think that's mainly about it. And I think the read on Sanders was wrong for all these weeks.
Yes. Well, inside my first point is he was top 4 and he moved up in competition. And my second point would be, you know, they treated Deion just like this.
Just like this. Okay.
When he was getting drafted. So now how did he perform? Now hopefully his son can do the same thing.
Yeah. Now look, I mean, but Deion was an incredible athlete. His son is not. Like, his son does not have the athleticism of Deion Sanders. Yeah. I mean, not even close.
No, granted, you're absolutely right. I'm just talking about the family and their mindset.
Yeah.
That would be...
Well, look, I'm rooting for the kid. I feel bad for him. I do think he deserves to be a first-round quarterback. If I were Brian Daboll, but I am not, so I'm fully open to just whatever Brian Daboll thinks. He's the one who's got to work with him. I think Shador Sanders was the next best quarterback in this draft. I do. Yeah, I think he played for years behind a bad offensive line and still threw touchdowns and didn't throw interceptions. I think he's accurate. I think his arm strength is fine. Not all world, but fine. Good enough to win in this league. And I think he's very proficient reading defenses, which I believe, especially for young rookie quarterbacks, is something you want to the earlier you can master that, the better you'll be. Now, do I understand why a team like the Giants is looking for the home run when they have a year to develop them? Yeah, I get that. If I'm Pittsburgh, and that's who I would be annoyed at if I'm Shador Sanders, and the Saints maybe, and the Giants, to be fair. But like Pittsburgh, to me, We were just talking about it. The value of drafting a quarterback like Shedeur Sanders at, like, if you think the a high floor quarterback, like, again, I use Geno Smith because that's what some of the guys on the pregame show, were the pre-draft show, were saying that he's Geno Smith. How much money did Geno Smith just make? You've got a really cheap Geno Smith for the next 4 or 5 years. That you're winning in Pittsburgh with Geno Smith. The Super Bowl? I don't know. But you're a winning franchise. You're back in the playoffs. You're a real threat in the AFC. With that coach, the money to spread around the team instead of putting it at the quarterback position and getting the kind of play that Geno Smith has given Seattle over the last handful of years, that's a good team. And you got a cheap quarterback for 5 years. I think there's immense value in that, where I'm surprised the Steelers passed on it. But they did, and the Giants traded up and got their guy and passed on Shedeur. Didn't like Shedeur. The Saints didn't like Shedeur. The Steelers didn't like Shedeur. The Giants didn't like Shedeur. And I feel bad for him sitting there, and because, I mean, you're right. For weeks, we all assumed he was going to be a top 10 pick, bare minimum. I never thought he was getting past the Saints at 9. I didn't. Steven in Brooklyn, what's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris, great show.
Thank you, buddy.
Giant fan. So glad, so happy the way the draft. Look, you got the best player in the draft at 3 overall. You know, Titans drafted for need at quarterback. Giants drafted the best player. And let me just tell you something, a quick quote right here, and you know this guy. If they want you to cook the dinner, at least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? A couple of years ago, Brian Daboll was coach of the year. And you know what? He waited, and he got his guy. And now he got his guy, and now it's going to just take some time. But this kid has that Josh Allen 2.0. Mm-hmm. He's got that moxie. He's got a lot of stuff that Allen has. And you know what? Look, Ward, yes, was the number one quarterback on the board.
Mm-hmm.
But weeks and weeks ago, you found out that Titans, you could have given the Titans 7 first-round draft picks. They needed a quarterback, so they were taking them.
Yeah.
And the Giants
offered him a first-round pick.
Absolutely.
And more, a first and third.
Absolutely. And one last thing. Right after the 25th pick, when the Giants drafted Dart at 25, at 26, the Rams, with Sean McVay, they traded out of that pick.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they wanted Dart at 26. And that shows you a lot about how much people like Dart a lot, and how Sanders was falling and Dart was getting hot. And that matters a lot. So I just wanted to make that important point. That Sean McVay wanted that guy. He wanted
That's an interesting, it makes sense considering the Giants traded up in front of him and took Jackson Dart, and then immediately they traded out of the pick. That's possible. Right. That's possible. I don't know if we know that for a fact.
Well, you know what? I was listening later on today. Bob Papa came on the Fan, and he was talking and stuff like that. And he made an interesting point, is that, you know, it just shows you how Sean McVay, you know, is a great offensive, genius quarterback and things of that nature. And he wanted Dart. I'm telling you, you're going to hear a lot of this. He traded out of that pick because they were looking for possibly, what's his name, the quarterback, Matthew Stafford, replacement.
Yeah.
And once that happened, look, it's a win-win for the Giants altogether. I'm just so happy the way it worked out.
And listen, if Steven, if you end up being right, and we hear a lot of Sean McVay wanted Jackson Dart, and the minute he was gone, they traded back, I'm going to feel even better about it. Because you're right, Sean McVay is one of the best, if not the best, offensive mind in the sport right now. And the idea that he coveted Jackson Dart would make me feel a hell of a lot better about it. Now, look, I don't know that for a fact. I haven't seen any reports that are strongly saying that. But if you just want to go on circumstance and make a decision and say 1 + 1 = 2, the Giants, you know, the Giants did move up right in front of them. So why would the Giants pick that spot? Or was it just that, you know, the Texans were the one listening? Or was it because they wanted to move up and make sure they got in front of the Rams because they had a feeling that the Rams would take Dart? And then once Dart is gone, they turn around and trade the pick. I mean, I don't, 1 and 1 doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not a guarantee that those all lead to the idea that the Rams are going to take them. But it may, if you are a conspiracy theorist or you want to just, you know, look at the circumstance, it makes sense. The way that played out makes sense that the Rams were in on him. And then once he was gone, they were willing to move. And in which case, if that's the case, not only do I feel better about Jackson Dart, the quarterback, I feel better about Joe Shane, the GM, who had his finger on the pulse and understood if I want Jackson Dart, I got to move up to 25. I hope you're right, Steven, because it makes me feel better about everybody involved. It makes me feel better about Dart because McVay wanted him, and it makes me feel better about Joe Shane having his understanding of what's going on in the league and his sources being correct and understanding that he had to move out in front of the Rams. So I hope you're right. Connor and Goshen, what's up, Connor? Hello? You're kind of out of breath there. You all right, man? You excited about the Giants? Oh, I thought he was going to give me the snore. No snore from Connor. A little heavy breathing, though. Sounded like Fatty McGee for a second, if you've ever listened to the old Adam Sandler album. Eddie in Rockland. Hello, Eddie.
Yeah, that guy with the Rams thing put that guy to sleep, man.
That's it.
Come on. If the Rams wanted Jackson Dart, okay, and you're on the phone and you're doing all your phone calling and they find out the Giants want him, they don't have to move up much to get him, okay? So this whole thing of, oh, the Rams wanted him and they had to have him or they're going to trade out. What? They could have just traded up, right?
Well, I guess they could have, but maybe they didn't know the Giants were coming. Right. How did they know the Giants are coming?
Listen, Eddie, I'm
glad the caller in front of you gave you some sort of sidetracking to get away from the idea that the Giants traded up to get their quarterback. And now you've been upset because you've been telling me forever the Giants aren't going to draft a quarterback. So I understand that you're looking for a way out of that.
I didn't think they were going to draft one in the first round. They didn't. They traded into the first round. Okay.
What? That was some sort of mental gymnastics right there. They absolutely traded him in the first. They absolutely picked him in the first round. He's a first round pick.
Right. With a second and 2/3 on top of it.
Well, it's not a. Okay. Yeah, they swap picks.
That's not value, Chris.
They swap picks. The 2/3, no, not really. Again, I don't care about the second round pick. They swap picks. They moved up.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm glad you're going down with the Titanic together, okay? Because all this shows me is that you took Carter, right?
Yeah, the Giants did, yes.
Right. And which is fine. But three years ago, they took the other kid and he was going to be the next Lawrence Taylor and we're waiting and waiting and waiting.
Kayvon Thibodeau was not nearly as highly touted a prospect as Abdul Carter.
Watch him walk down on the NFL when they draft him. They're talking about he could play anywhere on the field. He's the next Lawrence Taylor.
Nobody said he was the next Lawrence Taylor. They even said that about Abdul Carter.
Listen to the introduction on the draft.
Okay. Well,
first of all, you can't have the both of them on the field at the same time with Brian Burns. Okay?
Sure you can.
They're all edge rushers.
Sure you can.
No, you can't.
They can.
Okay,
On third and nine, you absolutely can have all of them on the field.
We'll see. Okay. And now you got Jackson Dart,
yes,
which is going to sit, right? He's going to sit?
For the start of the season, I would think, yes.
Okay. And then we're going to give Dable his chance, and he'll get his 1 or 2 wins week 10 or 12 or 14, mm-hmm, and they're going to go, oh, my God, we have to give Dable a contract. You know what I'm going to get you? I'm going to buy you a jersey. I'm going to reach deep in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy you a Dable's Darlings.
Okay,
that
sounds good.
That's what you're going
to be. Well, listen, I'm sorry today went so well for the Giants, and you're very frustrated with it. And I'm sorry that they picked.
Chris, I'm sorry they picked a quarterback when you were confident they wouldn't
because of all the tea leaves you've been reading. I understand. It's not easy.
One question: Week one of next year, are they better?
Yes.
How?
What do you mean how?
You swapped out two. You're swapping out two defensive ends that were high ranked for each other, right? If he didn't do anything 3 years ago, 4 years ago, this kid's going to be swallowed up too. They should have traded down and get defensive tackle. That opens up the defensive line if you're going to keep.
Yeah, okay. Now, how are they better? I don't know, because now they've got a competent quarterback, although not great with Russell Wilson, but surely better than what they've had the previous 2 years. Week one, Andrew Thomas will be healthy, hopefully, and the offensive line is vastly improved when he plays. They've added the best cornerback in free agency, the best safety in free agency. They still have more draft picks to be made. They have a young rookie running back. They're going to be far better next year. Now, I don't know how many wins it guarantees them in a tough division and a tough schedule, but they are going to be far better.
Well, isn't that what it's about, Chris? Isn't it about wins?
It's about competing for a championship. Next year, they're not in a position to compete for a championship. I agree. But now hopefully this quarterback is going to be that.
This shows completely that Mara has no handle on the Giants. Because what you did was you just gave Dable a free pass.
Yeah, no, they believe in Dable, and they're going to let him pick the quarterback and develop him. That's what they should have allowed him to do the first time around.
Yeah, I know. And they also said, and Mara also said, I'm going to be real P.O.
Yeah.
If Saquon goes to the Eagles, and there he handed him a Super Bowl, and you still don't think that that Dable and Shane didn't hand the Eagles a Super Bowl win.
Yeah, I don't.
Because of Barkley, that's a Super Bowl win. Okay.
In the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago without Saquon Barkley. It means he didn't turn around the Eagles from a bad team to a great team. They didn't win the Super Bowl just because of Saquon Barkley. They became a better team. But they were in the Eagles have been one of the better run franchises in the sport for a couple years.
Chris, let's cut
and he
to the
also
chase.
Didn't
what,
trade him to the Eagles. The Eagles signed him.
Jackson Dart. What week do you want to see Jackson Dart? Let's cut
hopefully,
to the
hopefully, yeah, I don't know. Week one of 2 years from now. Hopefully, they win enough games and they're competitive that they keep it throughout the entire season. Give him a full year with the clipboard, and he's ready to go week one of year two. That's ideal.
Wait a minute. If they're under 500 mid-season, like they did, because I had season tickets when they went to the all Eli Manning and Kurt Warner thing. Okay, they had a winning record and they switched to Manning.
Yep.
Okay, they have a winning record or mid-season.
Yep.
Come on, give me some numbers that you're comfortable on bringing.
They are not going to dart until the season is officially over, until they are eliminated from playoff contention.
Okay, when Sanders is playing better than Dart around Christmas time, and maybe whatever team he's on is doing a lot
better.
Yeah,
but I'm surprised. Why? Sanders sucks too. You would have been making the same call if Sanders was the quarterback. Eddie, I'm sorry they picked the quarterback. I know you've been yelling at me for weeks that they're not going to, and everything they've done in the offseason proves they're not going to. So I understand today is a rough day for you, and instead of just coming on and saying, hey, look, I was wrong, they picked the quarterback, I still don't believe in it, you went off on this tangent of all these ifs, ands, or buts, and maybes, and all this nonsense that you always go to. Just admit it. They drafted the quarterback. Now, of course he has to be good. Otherwise, it doesn't work. But, like, they had a great day. It's a great day. They got arguably the best player in the draft, and they got their future quarterback. And Brian Dable, who has been a quarterback who got the best year out of Daniel Jones, who turned Tommy DeVito from someone who wasn't allowed to throw the ball versus the Jets to someone beating playoff teams later in the season, and helped develop Josh Allen, who just won the MVP, got his quarterback that he's going to be able to work with. They got the best defensive player and the quarterback the coach wants. Today was a good day.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
And Brian Davey, the other thing about this, though, as the Giants have in the first round drafted Abdul Carter with the third pick and stuck to their guns there, too. Like, there's a couple of things. I feel like with this draft, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, like both in the moment and now moving forward, did some things that take some guts, right? I mean, you need the quarterback. To me, you need the quarterback. And it is part of a plan that helps preserve your jobs, right? People seem to have gotten off that the last few weeks. Now you just need as many wins and as many players, good players as possible. You know, it's not about the quarterback. It's about winning. You brought in Russell Wilson where, like, weeks ago it was like, hey, they better draft a quarterback. Otherwise, they can't keep their job. But in the moment, who knows how this is going to fall? Now we see all the quarterbacks dropping. Now we see Shedeur didn't even get picked in the first round. But after the Browns trade out and move to five, I mean, the thought might have been, hey, we're not going to take Carter or Hunter here. We're going to move back because we know the quarterback, it hasn't sounded like the Giants want to take him. We know there's how many quarterbacks are available. The idea that maybe the Browns were going to take a quarterback there, instead they stuck to their guns, drafted the best defensive player, and now Brian Daboll, this is not a slam dunk pick. Like, this isn't Shedeur Sanders. This is a guy who wasn't really thought of as this kind of quarterback up until the last week or so. And now this is, you know, Brian Daboll has to be successful with this kid. Like, it's one thing, like, if I'm Brian Daboll and I go into my next, say they don't draft a quarterback. Like, think of it this way, too. If they don't draft a quarterback and he fails as the Giants head coach with Russell Wilson, Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, and Daniel Jones. Like, those are the quarterbacks that he's went down with the Giants organization. He can go to his next job interview, whatever it is. It might not be for a head coach, offensive coordinator, whatever. But if he ever wants to be a head coach again, it's easy to say, hey, I never got my guy. I was never able to develop the quarterback like I did with Josh Allen, blah, 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 blah. Now he's got his guy. And I do think he's going to get next year. I think he probably gets another contract because you don't draft this kid and then take away his coach. And no one knows that more than John Mara, who admitted as much with Daniel Jones. But now the pressure is on Brian Daboll to make something of him because now this is his guy. More than it's Joe Shane's guy, more than it's the Giant guy, this is Brian Dable's guy. We'll play some sound from Brian Daboll. He's talking about Jackson Dart. Clearly, he is the core. He is the guy who wanted the Giants to take this quarterback. If he is unable to develop him, if he is a failure with Jackson Dart, that is going to hurt Brian Dable's ability to get the next job. It's going to hurt his ability to become a head coach. Because if you are a quarterback whisperer, if you are a failed head coach who hasn't won enough games, one coach of the year one, but then argued with his defensive coordinator who had to leave and go to Michigan, who has, you know, the story come out of yelling at his offensive coordinator, taking away his offensive game plan, calling, giving it back to him, taking it away from him, giving it back to him, all kinds of issues with your coaching staff, a reputation of a hard guy to work for, and screaming on the sidelines and everything else, and losing a ton of games, and taking a leap at the quarterback position, and then failing on it. Like, as much as we say, oh, he's got to keep his job, he's got to keep his job, if he wants to get another job, there's a lot of pressure on Brian Daboll to make something out of Jackson Dart. So in every way, this is about Shane and Daboll. From the minute they decided to keep them, from the minute when John Mara, Steve Tisch, and the Giants organization decided to keep Shane and Daboll, this is now a referendum on them, probably for the next few years, and that's why you needed the quarterback, because otherwise it was pointless to keep them. Now they're here, now they're the team, and now it's on them to be successful. No more excuses of Daniel Jones, no more excuses of Dave Gettleman and his salary cap hell, no more excuses. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have to turn this thing around, have to develop Jackson Dart, and have to be a winner within the next 2 years, or they have failed and failed miserably when given two different opportunities to rebuild the team. I don't know if you come back from that. I don't know if Joe Shane gets another job when you take into the account the phone call with Saquon Barkley and Hard Knocks last year and now a failing two-time rebuilding process with the New York Giants and a failed top draft pick that you traded back into the first round to go get. when Shedeur Sanders was sitting there, and then Shedeur Sanders' success is probably tied to you as well. This was a leap. It's a leap of faith on Jackson Dart. And that's what I wanted. I wanted the investment. I wanted Brian Daboll and Joe Shane to have to look at us and say, this is my guy, this is our future, and we're all in. And that's exactly where the Giants are. Ted in Fonda, New York. What's up, Ted?
Hey, my name is Ken.
Oh, Ken. I'm sorry. It says Ted here. But
it's all right.
That's okay.
How are you tonight? Great night for the Giants. Now, I think this coming season, I don't think their offense is going to be very good. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that their defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. And anything can happen.
They have added a ton of talent to their defense. There is no doubt. There is a lot of talent. There should be a lot more talent with this defense. It should be far better than it was last year.
I think they're really going to get after the quarterback like they did in the Strahan days. And I really believe in, you know, the Giants' defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. They might not win because, you know, their offense isn't going to be that great.
Well, the things going against them are obviously, I don't know what Russell Wilson has left. The offensive line, until I know for sure, otherwise, I feel a little, and if you look at some of the numbers, when Andrew Thomas was on the field, the offensive line wasn't terrible. It was, you know, like it was, you know, it was about midway through the league. It was about a average offensive line, which is far better than we got after Andrew Thomas's injury. But you've got Malik Nabers in his second year. You've got Tracy, a good young running back. I think, you know, I like Slayton. Don't love him, but I like him in this offense. And, you know, and I think they could be a little bit better. The defense should have a lot of talent. But the problem is the quarterback, I don't know. And the schedule is very tough. And they're in a division with last year the two best teams in the NFC. I mean, well, if you go by playoff victories, the NFC Championship game had both of their division rivals in it. So they've got a very tough schedule, and they play in a tough division.
Yeah, they do. And I me personally, I would have liked to see them draft Shedeur Sanders, mm-hmm. but I don't make the picks.
No, and that's why that's what I've been saying. Like, and it seems like a lot of callers wanted me to be more forceful on the quarterback I want, and then be upset when they don't take the quarterback I want. And I'm just being honest with you. I would have selected Shedeur Sanders. I believe Shedeur Sanders is the second best quarterback in this draft. I think he's polished enough. I think he reads the defense. Like, and to me, especially for the New York Giants, and maybe, you know, the idea of getting the guy with immense talent is better. And even that, I think Milroe fits that bill more. His athleticism is through the roof. I mean, I think his arm strength is right around Jackson Dart's. Like, I think, like, if you were going to go just super tool guy and who could become a superstar, if coached right, that's probably even more Milroe than it is Jackson Dart. But I think Shedeur Sanders, after what we've seen with the Giants, he's someone who's dealt with a pass rush and still throws touchdowns and doesn't throw picks. And he's someone who's elite at reading the defense. And to me, those were the struggles of Daniel Jones. So to have someone come in here and immediately be, you know, better at those two things that absolutely crippled this offense under Daniel Jones, I would have liked to have seen where that could have went. But I've also said from the beginning, this is about Brian Daboll. He was brought here because he's a quarterback developer. That's what made him a head coach in the NFL, and specifically the New York Giants. That's what made him viable to be an NFL head coach. His development of quarterbacks, his work with Josh Allen. And we've seen it at times with the New York Giants, and I want him to have his guy and develop his guy. Hiring Brian Daboll, forcing crappy quarterbacks on him, and firing without ever giving him a chance to develop his quarterback seems silly to me. Why would you hire that guy and never let him do what you hired him for? So we're going to get a look at that. And what happened in this draft, trading two third-round picks and moving up into the first round to get him, makes me feel pretty damn confident. And every other quarterback was available. I feel pretty damn confident that this is the guy that he wanted. And that's all I wanted. And they got arguably the best player in the draft on top of it. I would have been happy if they drafted Jackson Dart third. I would have been. I wouldn't have been as happy, but I would have signed on at midnight singing the song. I would have been the Midnight Rider singing and dancing and being all happy that the Giants drafted a quarterback. And not only did they draft a quarterback, but they also got arguably the best player in the entire draft. I don't know how you can't be happy as a Giant fan. Jeff in Florida. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Good. So, yeah, I mean, I was going to be the devil's advocate until you got that. I guess he's just been a regular caller, the negative one. But I just, the one thing that's a little dicey is that, they're basically, from what Mara said, is basically he's got one, the year to turn it around. So you're basically saying by doing this, they get another year. I was thinking if they have a bad season, would they bring him back? So you're basically giving him another year.
I think so. And my thought process, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. You could finish. Yeah. But I've kind of always felt this way. I think not that you can't believe John Mara or that he was lying necessarily. I think John Mara was so determined to make sure the fans who were flying banners over the stadium, I think he wanted to make sure everybody knew he was pissed off. And you can't go into that media scrum and really, talk up the guys or exude a ton of confidence in them and sound pissed off. So he chose sounding more pissed off. But ultimately, if he's going to allow them to draft a quarterback, and I remember him saying when they hired Shane and Dable that they ruined Daniel Jones by switching coaches on him, I find it hard to believe unless he talks to Dexter Lawrence, Burns, Malik Nabers, and some of the guys on this team halfway through the year, at the end of the year, and say, hey, look, he's lost the locker room. We don't trust him. We don't believe in him. Like, unless he gets from his top players some sort of message that there is something wrong with Brian Daboll and leading this team. Other than that, I really think Brian Daboll is going to be back because they just locked into a quarterback and you got to develop him.
No, that would make sense. But the thing is, at the same time, the Bears have done this now twice where they drafted a quarterback early, then fired the guy after a year. What happens if they, with their tough schedule, and what if they're 2-10 and,
2-10 they go to Dart.
Right, but they're flying the banners
I don't think the banners will matter, and I'd be surprised if there are banners while you're taking a look at a young quarterback, unless he's God awful. I suppose that's the way Brian Daboll could get fired. I think he's coming back. But your scenario of only winning one or two games in the first 10 or 11 weeks, they're eliminated from the playoffs by Thanksgiving. They go to Jacks, or at least it's close enough where even if it's not mathematically eliminated at 2-8 or 1-9 and, or 2-9 and theoretically they could still make the playoffs. But like, if they won out or something. But if it gets to a point where they're 2-9, the season's dead, and they go to Jackson Dart, and he is god-awful and looks like he's never played football before, maybe. And they're going to have a top pick in a better quarterback draft class. That's the only thing that could hurt Brian Daboll. If I'm thinking it out, if they get to a position where the season is so bad and so ugly, where they're forced to go to Jackson Dart halfway through the year or somewhere around there, he plays terribly, and they're at the top of the draft next year of a quarterback class that could include Arch Manning and several others that many people deem to be a far better quarterback class. Now you're looking at starting over all over again, hiring a new coach and new GM and letting them pick their future quarterback, and you move on from Jackson Dart, which we've seen before. So, that's the only scenario. If the Giants win 6 games, and either Jackson Dart never plays or he comes in and it shows the slightest bit of promise, I don't think there's any way Brian Daboll gets fired. And again, it's hard to win only 3 games in the NFL. It's hard. Like, you have to be really freaking bad. I really do think Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston with this team is good enough to win 6 games. Like, Russell Wilson's going to win 6 or 7 games with this team. I really believe that. So I'm not that concerned about it, but if they're 2-9, they go to Jackson Dart, he sucks, and they're looking, and they win 2 or 3 games the entire year, and they're looking at the top pick or the second pick in a quarterback draft, then you're moving on from him, you're moving on from the coach, you're moving on from the GM, you're hiring new people, and they're drafting their franchise quarterback. And I'll be sitting here at 2:15 every morning yelling, draft the quarterback, because that's what I do. Draft the quarterback until you find him. Tom in Albany. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Mac. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Hey, so you you figure their cutoff is 6 wins. What if they have 6 wins and they have another, they say they have another 5 or 6 wins that are less than a score? You think they keep their job then, both of them?
I think as long as the owner doesn't feel like the coach has lost the team and that the players don't want to play for him, now that they've drafted a young quarterback, and unless he plays a lot of games and looks awful, yes. I think as long as they feel that Dart is the answer and they want to develop him, I don't think they're going to fire the coach. And I don't think the difference between 5 wins, 6 wins, 7 wins is the difference that would make that decision for John Mara.
Yeah, that's what I agree.
Yeah.
Now, as far as how they're going to play these games, with their strategy for the games, you think they're going to let Russell Wilson throw a lot of short passes, the tight end, maybe some screens. Hopefully they get inside the 50, let them throw a few down the field, and depend on the defense to, change the game.
I think they're going to want Russell Wilson to not make mistakes, but Russell Wilson's biggest strength still is his deep ball. Like, Russell Wilson throws a pretty deep ball, and he's accurate with it. I think Brian Daboll's going to want to push the ball down the field. I think they're going to look for big plays. And, hopefully, and get after the quarterback. And hopefully the defense is a far improved unit. But, no, I think they're going to try and push the ball down the field. I think that's what Brian Daboll likes to do. And I think part of the reason that Daniel Jones failed miserably is Daniel Jones was no longer capable of doing it. Because I just find it hard to believe. You watch every camp workout, you watch every preseason game, you watch when Tommy DeVito was in there, you watch when every other backup was in there over the last handful of years, but you watch like Tyrone Taylor comes in, they're throwing the ball down the field. In camp, in preseason, and when every other quarterback played outside of Daniel Jones, they threw the ball down the field. Daniel Jones had become broken in some way. Behind that offensive line, with all the coaching changes, with maybe Brian Daboll coaching in, don't turn the ball over. He stopped taking chances. He stopped throwing the ball down the field. I don't think that's going to happen with Russell Wilson. I think they're going to want to throw the ball down the field. I don't think they're going to play some safe, manage the game style with Russell Wilson. I think they're going to look to push the ball. They're going to have a run game that they believe in. Tracy can run, but he's got weapons. He's got Theo Johnson at tight end. He's got, obviously, Malik Nabers. I think they're going to try and feed the ball to Malik Nabers. He's their best offensive weapon. I don't think they're going to play it safe. I think they're going to say, go ahead, run down the field, Malik. We're going to throw it to you. Jake in the Bronx. What's up, Jake?
Yeah, hey.
Hi, Jake.
Hi. Jets are on the clock, pick number 42. Shador Sanders available. Do we take him?
If Shador Sanders is still available at 42 for the New York Jets, I would take him. I take quarterbacks. I take you get Shador Sanders in the second round, and now you have a legit competition between Shador Sanders and Justin Fields. And you have a future quarterback. I mean, yes. You got a guy who was talked about being drafted third, and you're taking him 44th or 42nd. I forget which one the Jets have, but yes. I would. I think that would be an unbelievable coup for the New York Jets. I don't think that I'd be surprised if they do, but I think that's the perfect situation. I think giving Fields that push, that competition, and bringing in a young quarterback like that, no matter who wins, he's young enough, right? Fields is young enough where if he beats out Shador Sanders, then you're just talking money, right? Because Shador's going to be cheaper on his rookie deal, but I mean, you could feel like you have a future. This isn't like Russell Wilson versus Shador Sanders. This would be a young quarterback who you're taking a flyer on, paying $20 million a year, and putting him in a battle with a second-round pick. And competition breeds, the best out of people. And if you get the answer that Justin Fields is your quarterback because he played better trying to keep the young kid on the bench, and you find out that he's your guy moving forward, okay, so I wasted a second-round pick to find my quarterback. I'll live with that. I wasted a second-round pick to have a backup quarterback who I could go to on a rookie deal, and maybe he would be something. But you know what? Justin Fields proved to be the guy, great. I'll pay Justin Fields, and I'll try and trade Shedeur Sanders. Russ in Norwalk. What's up, Russ?
Thanks for taking my call, sir.
You got it, buddy. Thank you for making it.
The Giants did a good thing tonight. They got the best player, in my opinion, on defense, in Abdul Carr.
Yep.
He's got a difference. He's a difference maker. I like that Shane came out and said, we're gonna keep Tibbs. We're going to sign him, extend him, whatever. So now they have all this talent on defense. So the defense, there's pressure on the defensive coordinator to do a better job. Remember John Mara said, I don't want teams running up and down the field on me. They got Russell Wilson, who's a manageable QB, probably better than Jones. So they improved that position. And now they went and drafted their future quarterback. I think they did okay. That being said, there's some call coming here, buddy. The head coach, I have no confidence in this head coach. Okay? I have no confidence in the head coach.
Okay.
And that's where I think, as the fan base, you mentioned they're going to win, you know, they might win two. They have a tough schedule. We agree on that. And if they start 2-8, and they bring in four and six, I'm gonna give them four.
They're not gonna bring in Jackson's daughter 4-6.
I disagree. I think that to keep their job, to guarantee them getting their job back, they'll keep them because they'll say, well, look what Eli did when we went from Warner to Eli. I truly believe this, that he shouldn't have a job as head coach, but I believe that by doing this, they bought themselves one more year. Now, on the flip side, if they go 1-8 or 1-9,
then they will go to him
by Thanksgiving. They will still go to him.
Yes.
So they're going to go to him halfway through the year, no matter what.
I disagree. I got to let you go. I'm up against the top of the hour break. I disagree. John Mara and his desire for wins, there is no way in hell while the season is still alive and if the Giants are playing fairly well. Like you mentioned Eli Manning, they were 5-4. Through 9 games when they made the decision to go to Eli. There is no way in hell John Mara and all the losing they have been doing over the last handful of years is going to stop a team. And now with the extra playoff team, there is no way John Mara is walking away from a 5-4 team, a 4-5 team in the mix for a playoff hunt to just suddenly throw that away and go to the young kid. Won't happen. I promise you, it won't happen. Now, if they're 2-8, now we're talking a different story. But 4-5, 5-6, in the mix, in the hunt, there is no way he's passing on a possibility of having meaningful games in December that could actually get, or a playoff game. There is no way he's going to give up on that to then move on to the young quarterback. I don't think there's any chance. I think they'll wait for next season and give Jackson Dart the entire year. That's why they traded up to get him into the first round. They wanted that fifth-year option. Now you got a legitimate 5-year contract. He sits for one of them. You got him for 4 years. I think that's part of it. There is no way that this owner, in how many losses they've had over the years, is just going to forfeit a chance to have a push for the playoffs in the name of developing a young quarterback. Won't happen. 888-808-1019. And honestly, the only way Brian Daboll loses his job is if Jackson Dart comes in and is awful. As long as Jackson Dart doesn't see the field, he's in growing mode. He's in working with Brian Daboll mode, and we still haven't seen, so we don't know. And that will keep his job. So I don't think Brian Daboll will go to him just to keep his job, because if he plays terribly and they lose with him, that's the only way he loses his job.